find God in three, or when you find that, you also find Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, there's the starting point, chapter 3. So we talked yesterday about a little bit about introducing the thought of kingdoms and living for self rather than living for Christ. And all that that implies, and quite honestly, we probably spend a month just talking about that subject because there's so much there. And honestly, there's so much that we are just kind of used to being our habit of living.
And kind of working through marriage and all that, and we're just kind of day after day after day, and we start to kind of get in the, you know, we get a little bit of in a comfort zone, I guess we might say it that way, and we pick up bad habits, and we don't really think about how we consider the things that we're doing to be really more about us and our comfort or our security or our I don't want to do that because we haven't done it that way before, and I get uncomfortable. You know, we all have a little bit of insecurities. And so we pick up these bad habits, and yet we have to come to realize that it's possible that I, even as a believer in Christ, I might be living more for myself than I'm living for Him. Because when I live for Him, boy, my relationships on kind of the horizontal level with other people will be right if my relationship with Him is right and proper, and I'm being obedient to what it is He tells me to do. So this morning, we're going to kind of look at maybe one of those, I don't know if habits is the right word, but just maybe mindsets that we get into. Don't raise your hand, but think with me, have you ever been offended? Well, I'm breathing, aren't I? Yeah, I've been offended. You know, somebody did something that I didn't like, or, you know, said something that they shouldn't have. And so offenses, listen, the Bible tells us offenses will come. I don't know why we do it, but the Bible tells us that we ought to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, right? When trouble comes, when trial comes, when hardship comes, we ought not count that as something like, I cannot believe this is happening to me. But yet oftentimes I hear even Christian folks say, why would God allow this to happen to me? Why would God allow this in my life? Well, hey, He said that He would do that. Isn't He just being faithful to His Word? And it's not like He leaves us alone in those things. He gives us His Word, as Pastor mentioned yesterday as we kind of brought things to a close. He gives us His Word to say, hey, here's the solution to the problem. If you will be obedient and understand what this says, then those issues, you'll realize that God deals in my life oftentimes in hardships. And hardships bring, James says, hardships bring patience. Patience is a good thing. Do you know that you never learn patience during the good times? I don't need to be patient when the lights are all green. But I need patience when stuff, yeah, amen? Yeah. I don't need patience when we're getting along with one another. But I do need patience when the trials of life rear their head. Okay? I need patience when I wake up on the wrong side of the bed and I'm frustrated at everything and no one's even talked to me yet. Right? And so today we're going to talk a little bit about some things with bitterness and offenses. So look at Colossians 3 and verse number 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. What's the first word in verse 16? Let. Who's doing the letting? You are. So look, we're starting in verse 16 with a decision that every one of us has to make. I'm confronted, hey, you need to make this decision. And what's the decision? Well, let the word of Christ dwell in you, how? Richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. All right, time out. Did you just sing with grace in your heart to the Lord? Okay, I'm getting some looks like, how dare you ask me that question this early in the day? But aren't I supposed to live my life like that? Have there been days in your existence when you've walked up and woke up and there's a song in your heart? And just, man, I'm singing, I'm just zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay, man, it's a great day. There are other days when there might be a song, but it's not the right song in my heart, right? Or there's frustration there. But I am supposed to let the Word of Christ dwell in me, and not just dwell in me, period, but dwell in me, how? Richly. Okay? Now, verse 17. And most of the things that you do? No. Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Okay, question. Are there some things that you might have even done this morning, or attitudes that you had, thoughts that went through that little brain of yours, that were not in the name of the Lord Jesus, that were not necessarily giving thanks to Him? Rather, it was like the sons of thunder, shall we call down fire from heaven and consume these? Right? Verse 18. Okay, now we're getting into, again, some more practical instruction. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. And notice, be not bitter against them. Children, oh, God has instructions for all of us. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, notice, lest they be discouraged. We're talking about dealing with offenses. Let's pray together, ask the Lord's help. Thank you, Lord, for just helpful, practical instruction. And so, Lord, I know that because we're alive and we live in this sin-cursed world, that offenses are going to come. You told us that they would come. And Lord, all of us have experienced some bit of that. Either we have been maybe offended at what someone has done against us, or we have been the offender. So Lord, we deal with this regularly. Thank you for your word that gives us some instruction, some help, some encouragement, some hope. Well, thank you, and we ask your help in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We stated yesterday, just to remind us, that bitterness is that pill that we take hoping it helps or hurts the other person, and really the only one that it hurts is us. Okay? So bitterness occurs when other people do not live up to the expectations that I've put onto them. Oftentimes, my expectations might be silent. That is, I've never told them what my expectation is. Helpful thing that I was taught about raising children is tell them what you expect. Because if you don't tell them what to expect, they don't know how to behave themselves. They might not understand when I discipline them why I'm doing it if I never explain to them, here's the expectation. Right? And so I get offended when somebody else doesn't live up to or meet my expectations for their life. Now, I will also say this, that oftentimes, I think a majority of the times, my expectations for somebody else might not be right. Because I'm going to talk about this morning in the morning message, but because I live for my own kingdom, not for God's. Okay? Sometimes, I know nobody in here, but sometimes I'm willing to give myself more grace than I'll give somebody else. Oh, that's dangerous. That leads to me being offended when they don't meet, again, my expectation. Bitterness comes through improper handling of offenses, right? In fact, we'll come back to here, but notice verse 19 again real quickly. Husbands, love your wives, and notice, be not bitter against them. Maybe I'm bitter because I didn't handle the offense right in the first place. Maybe, right? Now, again, verse 19, the potential for bitterness is present in every one of these relationships. But bitterness is like, it's a passion or an emotion of the heart. It's not a rational thing. It is an emotional thing. And when I get ruled by my emotions and that's how I kind of live my life, I'm going to get in trouble real quick. Because again, emotions are mine, right? Somebody else, do you know this, that sometimes when you and I get offended, that other person might not even know they offended us? They might not, now I know this is hard to believe, they might not have been trying to offend us. But if we're not careful, we automatically, man, we want to run them over the coals because I cannot believe they would do that or say that or act like that or whatever. And we put ourselves, again, in God's place, judging their heart and their motivation. When I can't know your motivation, only God does. Okay? So if bitterness comes when others don't live up to my or meet my expectations, bitterness comes when they improperly handle these offenses. Now, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter number 12. All right? Hold your place in Colossians and look at Hebrews chapter number 12. We're going to be a few places this morning. Hebrews 12. Look at verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow what? Peace. Follow peace with the people that you really like and get along with. No. That's easy. No, I'm to follow peace with all men. And, notice, and holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby, look at the influence, thereby many be defiled. It's interesting how often the Bible tells us that you're not an island unto yourself. The decisions that you make and the offenses that we kind of tend to take because we're frustrated by someone or something don't just affect us. And by the way, the Bible tells us right there in verse number 15, it affects us negatively. But it's not just us, it's everyone around us. Dad, do you know that your bitterness can affect your children? That doesn't sound very fun. Husband, do you know that your bitterness affects your wife? Because she watches you go through this and be frustrated all the time, and she doesn't want you to be that way. And I'm telling you, it cannot help but affect that relationship. Okay? What am I teaching my children when I'm quick to be offended because somebody did something against me? By the way, how quickly does something happen to our children on the playground or at the schoolhouse or at church or whatever? And somebody does something against them. What am I teaching them about how we handle those things? Okay? So understand that, boy, I've got to follow peace with all men and, again, and holiness. Okay? It sounds like to me that the Bible is once again telling all of us that we are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ rather than just saying, well, it's my old flesh. This is how God made me. Is it really? Or is this a result of my habits that I've kind of built up over time and my wrong choices? Because I haven't, Colossians 3, I haven't let the Word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom. Okay? So let's look at some things that the Bible says. Four things to do with offenses, I think. There we go. Four things to do with offenses. Number one, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but expect that they're going to come. Just expect it. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 18, and look at verse number 7. Matthew 18, verse 7. Jesus is giving some instruction, and he's brought a little child in the midst of him. Many of us know that event that occurred. And talking about faith as a little child, but look at verse number 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. So just expect, Jesus is saying what? Because you live in a sin-sick world, because we are all stained by this thing called sin, right? The moment you're born in sin. Okay? The moment you're conceived, the Bible says, you are conceived in sin. So I came out a sinner. Now, I hadn't done a lot of wicked things yet, right? The moment I was born. But I did come out a liar because I was screaming my little head off thinking I'm going to die. I got hungry, and I'm starting to tell everybody, if I don't get some food right now, I'm going to pass off of this earth. I'm a liar, right? So I live in this world that is cursed by sin. And Jesus is saying, just expect that offense is going to come. Just expect that there are going to be hard times. There is a lot that we can allow in a sin-sick world. There's a lot that we can allow. We can make the decision to offend us. I can let a lot of things offend me. And even if I'm told, hey, expect that offenses come, I can start to get defensive and say, well, fine, I'm going to meet them head on. and I'm going to get offended at every one, and I'm going to fight my way out of every one. I would say also this, that you are and I are to know that offenses are going to come, but also know this, that you and I are also going to offend someone else. But we never think about that when we're the ones who are being offended. We never think how I might have done that to somebody else. We always kind of, we tend to, no, that's not the right word. We often do, we usually side with ourselves. And I'll excuse myself of a lot more than I'll excuse somebody else of doing. Now think about the marriage relationship. If you live for self, and I know this passage, the preacher talks about it, and I know offenses are going to come, and there are some people who live their life, believe it or not, some people who live their life waiting for that offense to come so that they can remember that and snap back at the other one. Why would you want to do that? I'm amazed at how much social media has caused us to be exposed and how much we like drama in our lives. We go looking for trouble. Why would you do that? The most watched television genre in, like, for network television shows are drama television shows. We are ate up with, I can't wait till drama comes in my life. Just can't wait. Why? Why do we do that? Oh, we're just kind of naturally inclined. By the way, not by the Spirit of God, but because of our flesh. We're inclined toward, let's fight. Okay? Let's get in deep. Can't wait to rip somebody apart and say something. Do you ever notice how quickly you might be to snap back at somebody when they say something about you? It might even be a joke. But you're trying to get back at them with something? Okay, let's just try to be mean at 10:25 in the morning. How often when you're having a, let's call it a lively discussion with your spouse, have you found yourself not necessarily listening to what they're saying and taking it as, hey, maybe there's something for me to learn. I'm trying to formulate my comeback to them. Can't wait till she shuts her mouth because I'm going to say something to her. Right? What have I done? I've taken an offense. And I want to fight back and try to hurt that person back again. Okay? Well, just understand, if you got kiddos in the house, they hear that. And they see that. And all you're doing is training them to do the exact same thing. And then, we're so dumb, we get surprised when they do it. Where did you learn that from? Well, you did it 3 times last week, right? I mean, we don't think through this. Again, Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, right? Doing and operating and living and responding not in my flesh but in God's grace. And by the way, I'm going to need God's grace, His power, His strength, to not answer back in the flesh. Because I've answered and you have done it the same way. You and I have responded so often in the flesh, it comes naturally to us. Rather than we haven't operated as much following the Spirit, so that takes some work and effort and practice and prayer and all of those. Some decision making. Again, who is doing the letting? You and I are doing the letting. It's a decision that I make. So, number one, expect those offenses. Number two, the Bible says in Psalm 119, and we'll turn there, Psalm 119, the Bible says don't take offenses. Don't take them. Notice Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119, verse 165. Many of you, when you see the verse, you'll remember it. You've heard it maybe somewhere before. Psalm 119, verse 165. Here's tremendous Bible counsel. Great, what? Peace have they which love thy law. And, oh, no thing shall offend them. Okay? Just mark it down. Offense is going to come in your life. Just mark it down. You're going to offend somebody else. But the Bible wisdom says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I think that can work both ways in that equation. One, when someone says something about me or tries to hurt me, or they might not even have been trying to do, but it could be offensive toward me. Nope, I'm not going to be offended by that. I'm going to choose not to take that offense. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. The other side is, if I have great peace in loving God's law, I'm probably going to be much less likely to be offensive to somebody else. Right? And so you see there's kind of some double impact in that verse. Now let's look at a couple more. Look at Romans chapter number 3. Go to the New Testament again, Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. And look at verse 19. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, so I know what the law says. I'm under the law in the aspect that it teaches me what? It's my schoolmaster. Ah, you're a wicked, filthy, rotten, nasty sinner. You haven't kept a bunch of these laws, let alone one of them. 1 John 3:4 says what? Sin is the transgression or the breaking of God's law. So what God says is right is right. I don't have it. He didn't ask my opinion. I have no input. Well, yeah, but that was then, this is now. No. And I'm not saying we live according to the commandments in the Old Testament, who, number one, were oftentimes addressed strictly to the Jew. Number two, Christ has come to fulfill the law for us in our place. Praise the Lord. Okay, but it helps me to understand, okay, there's offenses. Now, look at chapter 5 of Romans and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Okay? Who is the offense abounding to in Romans 5? Well, it's not abounding to me. I'm the offender. The offense is me offending God, sinning against Him, not doing what it is He has commanded me to do. So, what is Paul saying? Moreover, the law entered. So, you and I needed the law. We needed somebody greater than us to make the rules. Okay? We're not going to act like my daughter when we play Monopoly and try to change the rules so that she wins the game. We're not doing that. No, God's the one who sets the rules. And when I break the rules, that's offensive to Him. I'm sinning against Him. But notice, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Okay, so we combine Romans 3:19 and 20 and Romans 5:20. What are we saying? The law is shutting the mouth of the person who's self-righteous, who's made their own set of rules, who is coming to life and approaching life and living life, saying, well, if you really were spiritual, this is what you would do. And none of those things are necessarily in the Scripture. We have made our own set, and so we can appear to be self-righteous. By the way, that's what the self-righteous person always does, is they change the rules to make them look better and to make you look worse, so that they become elevated in their own mind, by the way, but not anybody else's. Certainly not in God's. Okay? I'm so grateful that we just mentioned it in passing yesterday, but I'm so grateful that no matter how many laws I keep or break, God loves me the same. I'm grateful that after I trusted Christ, He knows that I will still struggle with sin. By the way, that's what Paul said in Romans 7. The things that I do are not the things I should do. And the things that I want to do are not the things that God told me to do. So every day I have this spirit and this flesh that battle it out. And so his conclusion to that portion of that letter is what? Who shall deliver me from this body of what? Death. This is death. But Paul began his life and was taught in his upbringing that we're the one, because we're the spiritual elite, we're the one who make the rules. Everyone has to side with us. Otherwise, they're in trouble. And what God is saying, what Paul is saying here under inspiration of the Spirit is, no, God's law shuts the mouth of every self-righteous person. He's the one that actually is the one setting the rules. Sin, it causes God's law. It's perfect. It causes my sin to what? Romans 5, to abound. So Romans chapter number 4, look at Romans 4. And verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for what? For our offenses. Raised again for what? For our justification. Am I aware, when I'm taking offenses, when I am being offensive, am I aware of all that I have been forgiven? Not usually. I'm not thinking about it right then. I'm usually thinking about striking back. I'm usually thinking about, how can I hurt this other person? I'm usually thinking about, how dare they do that? I can't believe that a believer would act that way. Really? Because they're still in flesh. See, what ought not surprise us oftentimes is the very thing that offends us. And what God is saying time and time again is, hey, Bubba, you offend just like your offend did. So let's be gracious with one another and realize that none of us are matching up to the holiness of Almighty God. And let's be more forgiving of someone. Just know offenses are going to come. Just make the decision. I'm not going to take that in my life. I'm not going to allow that to affect my life. Number three, how do we deal with these offenses? Number three, we've got to deal with them properly. So let's go back to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Now, I just want to be very clear that what we're not talking about is out in the open sin, because out in the open sin, doing what God says not to do must be dealt with. What I'm talking about is, we're not talking about necessarily a sin issue, we're talking more about you sinned against me because I don't like what you did. I'm playing by my rules versus God's rules. Now, Matthew 18, so much of that is, we're not playing by God's rules. And we're talking about now issues in the church that people are seeing and things that people are doing that are breaking God's law, going against God's word. And when we go to them or to try to help them understand, what you're doing is not right, it's not proper, and it needs to be repented of and stopped. Okay? So now look at Matthew 18, verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So how do we deal properly? Well, the Bible says in verse number 15 of Matthew 18 that we deal with it alone first. I'm to go to my brother and say, hey, this was said or done, or I've seen this, and boy, this I just want you to know, here's what God's word has to say about that. And because I love you and I want to remain in fellowship with you in this place, I'm just coming to you and saying, hey, let's look at this and let's repent of this. And so often, if we will follow what God has said, so often I can just gain my brother. The problem becomes when the offender thinks that now they're the offendee and that you're attacking them. They'll be unrepentant about those things. And that's when we, as we go on through Matthew 18, now we're taking it before a couple of witnesses. Hey, these others have seen it too, and it needs to be made right. If they're still unrepentant, then we take it to the church and let the church deal with those things. But I deal with it alone first. Why do I deal with it alone first? Well, I think God tells us that because it shows our desire to keep that relationship. I want to stay in fellowship with you. I want to stay in relationship with you. And because I care about you, I don't want you to go down this road that is wrong or sinful or wicked. This is not just affecting you or me. It's affecting others around us. And so let's make it right, because I'm valuing that relationship. Rather than sometimes we look at those issues and we'd rather get rid of the person rather than restore the person. And what God is saying is, no, the proper idea, the proper goal in all of this is to restore that person back into fellowship. That's what we want. Because we value that person. And we value that God died for them just like He died for us. But, just like most other things, it takes two to come to agreement on that. And the sad thing is when the one who cares is coming, and the one who says maybe they care with their mouth, but their actions or their deeds or even their words say otherwise, refuses and doesn't value the relationship, and I would say, according to what the Bible says, doesn't value what God has to say about it, and would rather live according to their own rules rather than what God says. Now, that doesn't just happen in the church house. That happens even more often in the house itself, at home. Okay? And we stew for days, weeks, months, years, because we didn't necessarily expect offenses. We thought our mate was going to be perfect. We thought when people said that my child or their little angel, that they'd act like a little angel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We took the offense when something was said or done, and we took the offense and then we never dealt with it properly. And then we see people who would rather, because they don't value the relationship anymore, because they've been hurt and they're living according to their own standard, they'd rather split the relationship rather than restore. And I don't know any of your home situation, but I would say this, it's possible, maybe even probable, that there are some in our own, in this church, who are struggling in their marriage. And can I encourage you, please value that relationship and allow God to do the work that only He can do. Don't just try harder. You have to yield to Christ and allow Him to live His life through you. But I deal with it alone first. But then next, if I'm the accused offender, go to Matthew chapter number 5. If I'm the one who is being accused of offensive behavior, of offending, Matthew 5 verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. In other words, somebody's come to me and they said, whoop, this is wrong, or I was offended in this, or you've offended someone else. I have aught against my brother. Notice verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Again, so, if I have been offended, and it's not that I've taken it to myself, but there's a sin issue here. There's wrongdoing here, and I go, I'm to go to my brother. If I have been the offender, what does Matthew 5 say? I'm also to go. See, either person is to go and take the impetus to go to their brother and confess, forsake, ask for restoration, ask for restoring a fellowship, whatever needs to be done. Ask for forgiveness from the Lord. Okay? So either way, if I've been offended or if I'm the offender, I'm to go. I'm to take the initiative. I'm to be the one. I'm not to say, well, I'm going to wait for them to come to me. I'm going to make them tell me that they're sorry. No, all I'm doing is storing up bitterness. And then when that person, when God doesn't work, by the way, it has to be God that does the work in the heart. When God does the work in the heart, if I've stored up bitterness and I've made them come to me, then I might not accept their apology. I might not offer them forgiveness because I've now made a case against them. Right? And again, I just remind us that our example in all this is Jesus Christ, not the best Christian that you've ever known. By the way, I love your pastor, but not the pastor either. It has to be Christ. Okay? He has to be the motivation. So when I'm offending, I have to realize, we've read it in Colossians, God's not getting the glory when I'm offending or when I'm holding a grudge against someone else. Let's go one more place and we'll finish up here. Proverbs 13. Look at Proverbs 13. Hold your place in Matthew 18 if you didn't already. Hold your place in Matthew 18. We'll go to Proverbs 13 real quick. Proverbs 13, look at verse 10. Just because I didn't want you to think I'm just I said this probably, 112 times yesterday, but I want you to see it. I'm not making it up. Proverbs 13, verse number 10. Only by pride. Excuse me, what's the first word again? Only by pride cometh contention. But the verse doesn't stop there. But with the who? The well-advised. Who's the well-advised? The person who lets the word of Christ dwell in them richly in all wisdom. Right? But with the well-advised is wisdom. When I'm operating in pride, when there's contention, I'm not acting wisely. That's what that verse says. I'm not being obedient to what God's word says. Again, I'm operating by my standard rather than God's. Okay? On the back wall, I noticed it this morning when I came in, is Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed where? On thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. I'm just going to trust that God can take care of situations better than I can. And by the way, he can all the time. Do you know, just if you've got seatbelts in the pews, you might just click them together because this is going to blow your socks off. Do you know that God loves you more than you love you? Do you know that God can take care of you better than you can take care of you? Do you know that God, that's true also in the life of your spouse, your children, or the people that you like? Don't tell anybody. But also the people that you don't like. He loves them too. Yeah, yeah. So my mind can be in perfect peace because I trust him. I trust that he's going to do what's right. I trust that he's going to keep better accounts than I will. I trust that his grace is going to be better than my so-called grace. Okay? Let's go to the last one. Four things to do with offenses. Number four is if all else fails, whoop, forgive. Forgive. Back to Matthew 18, verse 21. Many of us know this story. We say it all the time. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him, that's to the Lord. Now, just listen to the question. He's trying to be so self-righteous. What a gas bag. Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Oh, so lofty. I love Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, Peter's looking for a limit. Okay, but where do I get to take the offense? Where do I get to be frustrated? Where do I get to finally strike back? And what is Jesus' response? Never. Stop trying to look for a limit. Stop trying to look for an opportunity to stop being forgiving. By the way, again, I think our example in that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? See, forgiveness there, I think there's a little bullet point on your outline. Forgiveness needs to be your habit. Needs to be your habit. It needs to be my habitual response needs to be forgiveness rather than siding with the flesh and deciding or wanting to, thinking that it's going to help the situation to strike out. I'm going to read you Ephesians 4, verse 31, 32, and we're done. We were here yesterday, just a reminder. The first word is let. Let all bitterness, let all wrath and anger and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Here we go. Forgiving one another. And here's the standard. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Whew. But I don't feel like doing it. Well, stop worrying by your emotions. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And I don't have to deal with the drama when I will be quick to forgive that person. Expect there's going to be offenses. Don't take them. Deal with them properly. If all else fails, look to forgive. Look to forgive. Release that bondage. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. We're grateful for the instruction that you give. And I pray that, Lord, you just help us, please, to to understand offenses are going to come. Help us to not take them. Lord, help us to not stand in your stead and be the judge and jury of that person's motivation or their heart. But Lord, help us to seek that relationship, to deal with it properly, and then help us to be quick to forgive. May it become our habit. Thank you for being a perfect example of what forgiveness is in my life, in our lives, every moment of every day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.